Abide, 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 abide. 12 times, John says, abide. What do you think God wants us to do? He wants us to abide. I'm not going to pray to close right now, but I'm going to pray that God would open our eyes to understand what this means, that he might teach us to abide. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we come to your word this morning to have clean eyes and open ears and a pure heart and attentiveness. I pray that our brains would be able to understand and grasp what it is that you have for us. God, as I oftentimes do in this moment, I remember that this word is inspired by your Spirit. It is written so that it might purge us, that it might make us more like Christ. God, husbands are challenged to sanctify their wives with the washing of the word, and you, Lord Jesus, are the great groom that is washing us with the water of your word, and I pray that you would do that this morning, that we, your bride, would be purged through the hearing and the teaching of your word. I pray that you would speak to us and through us, that you might change us, and that we might leave this place different than we came in. We welcome that, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 15. You want to open up to John chapter 15. Very well-known passage. I want to try to do justice to it this morning. I think we probably could spend weeks just in these 17 verses. But we won't. We'll just spend one morning. About an hour and a half left. For you who are here for the first time, that was a total lie. Lord, forgive me for dishonesty. Healthy things grow, right? They may not grow as fast as we want sometimes, but healthy things grow. If something has the nutrients it needs, if something is doing the work that it needs to do to remain healthy, it's going to grow. And eventually, if it's a fruit tree, it's going to bear fruit. If it's a flowering plant, it's going to grow flowers. That's what it does. This principle is true everywhere in our lives. If we are healthy people, it will produce fruit in our lives. It'll produce evidence of health. You can look at relationships, you can look at finances, you can look at parenting, you can look at so many different areas of our lives, and all of them abide by this same principle, and that is healthy things grow. And so when we look at John chapter 15 and we think about Jesus commanding us 12 times to abide, we have to understand that the regular maintenance of our relationship with Jesus Christ has to be rooted in our individual work to abide in him. It has to be. And if we're connected with Jesus and we're abiding, whatever that might mean, abiding in him, we are going to bear fruit that is consistent with the vine. I'm going to talk about that this morning. If you remember from last week, John chapter 14 ends with Jesus saying, "Rise, let us go from here." I envision Jesus standing and gathering his disciples and beginning to walk his way through the city of Jerusalem. And maybe along the way, he saw a vine growing in a backyard or coming out of a fence, a wall or something where he's seeing this vine growing and immediately triggers this thought of, how can I teach my disciples to bear fruit once I'm gone if I'm not here with them? What do I do? What word picture can I give them? And Jesus begins to talk about the vine. I wonder if the disciples at the time realized the significance of this picture. But remember, Jesus was trying to communicate to them something very specific during this upper room discourse time. He wanted to communicate to them clearly that he was going to the Father, that they could trust that he is everything that he said he was going to be, and that their job was to love one another and stay connected to Jesus, even though he's not present. And that is in the person of the helper. Jesus wants them to understand that if they are to bear fruit, if they are to grow, if they are to be mature, if they are to be everything that the Father intended them to be, they would need to be rooted in who Jesus is and resting in him day in and day out. And if healthy, they will grow. As we look at John 15, oftentimes we look over the first three verses to the later verses in this section. And we normally will jump to, well, what do I need to do to abide? How do I abide? What do I not do if I'm abiding? How can I abide better? How can I be the best abider in the world? It's normally where we go. We're normally obsessed with the branch. It's interesting to me to think then that Jesus doesn't start with the branches. He starts with the vine dresser. He starts with the work that the vine dresser is doing in this garden that he is describing for his disciples. And he identifies the characters at the outset. He talks about Jesus being the true vine. This is now the third time that Jesus has used this word true to describe himself. He describes himself as the true light and the true tabernacle, and here the true vine. He wants us to understand that there is some, in its essence, Jesus is everything that this thing can depict. And we as Christians would affirm that. We would say, yes, we believe that Jesus is true in everything he does and says. And as he describes himself as the true source of life, we want to affirm that. He describes himself as the true vine. Secondly, he describes God the Father as the vine dresser. We see this picture of a gardener walking through the garden, looking at all the plants and measuring them and watching them and observing and making sure that the leaves are the right color and they're growing in the right way, and he's inspecting. Why? Because he's the gardener. That's his job. And then he gets to the branches and says, the branches are to be connected to the true vine, submit themselves to the work of the vine dresser. But you and I are the branches. I think we probably know this, whether through instruction or just intuitively. But throughout this passage, it's the disciple of Jesus Christ that is the one that is to be abiding. He's the branch connected into the vine. But let's first look at, since Jesus starts there, let's first look at the first three verses, particularly with regards to the vine dresser. And I probably should read the whole passage. Let's read, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read all the way down to 17, just so you can get the context. I read bigger sections of Scripture, not to be annoying. I read bigger passages of Scripture because I think it's very important for us to remember how a little verse fits into a big part. And if you forget the big part of it, sometimes you don't understand the little part of it. So I read large sections. So we're going to try to cover through verse 17 this morning. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And these things I command you, so that you will love one another. First, let's look at the work of the vine dresser. The vine dresser is working. The gardener is working. And he is working for the purpose of fruitfulness. He's working for the purpose of fruitfulness. I think you understand this, that a garden is for the benefit of one thing. Do you know what it's for the benefit of? The garden is for the benefit of the gardener, right? If you decide to go out in your yard and plant vegetables or plant whatever, you're going to work at whatever level you feel like you need to make those plants produce whatever they're intended to produce for one reason, and that is so that you benefit from them. Now, you may benefit from them by giving them to other people or providing for your family or selling them for profit or whatever it might be. But ultimately, that plant does not exist for the plant's sake. It exists for your sake. Why? Because you're the gardener. It's yours. They're your possessions. When I go out in my yard and I try to plant something, I want it to grow up and look beautiful so that my neighbors will drive by and say, wow, that guy has a green thumb. And they drive by and they say, what in the world is that guy thinking, is what they actually say. My plants are not obedient, not submissive to my will. But ultimately, the garden is for the benefit of the gardener. The gardener is the one that receives all of the benefit from what the plants are doing as they're growing. Jesus, or the Father, is the vine dresser, and he is about the work of going to the garden, making sure the garden is doing what it's supposed to do, which is what? Which is produce fruit. Now, we're talking about a fruit garden in this sense. But the gardener is wanting and is expecting and is searching out ways for the plants to produce fruit. He's working for that. And he's looking for the good fruit. That's what he's doing. He's looking where the fruit is, and he's trying to find it. Now, this image of the vine, the vineyard and the vine and the branches would not have been unfamiliar to the Jewish audience in the first century, because God is repeatedly describing his relationship between him and his people, Israel, as a gardener and a vineyard. You read prophet Isaiah, you read the Psalms, you read Jeremiah, you read Ezekiel. You'll see vineyards over and over and over as a picture of the Lord's work. Let me read one example from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved in a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and he cleared it of stones and he planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and he hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it, it yielded grapes, but why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. A briar and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, and for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. And you say, well, that's really a dismal view, Matthew. What are you reading such negative talk? What you see in that is God describing his people as a vineyard, and you see God investing time and energy looking for the thing that the vineyard should produce, which is fruit. God, the vineyard, the vine dresser rather, is busy looking for fruit in the lives of his people. Why? Because that's why he put them there. He put them to produce fruit. Jesus says in John 15 that he is actually looking for much fruit, not just fruit, but much fruit. So the sense of fruitfulness is really, really important to the vine dresser. And I think, what is it? What is the fruit that God is looking for? You ever think about that? What is the fruit that God is looking for when he is looking for fruit in the lives of his people? My grandmother had 8 grapefruit trees in her yard. I don't know if I've told you about my grandmother's yard. My grandmother was the rock of our family. Everything centered around my grandmother and her little house in Phoenix. She had 8 grapefruit trees, and during season, you could just open the door of the house and you just smell the citrus pouring in. Maybe some of you who live back in Florida, back in the days of the citrus, you remember the smell. It's just a wonderful, sweet smell that just really messed with my allergies because I've got a pollen thing. But the fruit was great, And there were certain times of the year, there were so many grapefruit on the trees that they would just kind of hang low. And my grandma would spend time through the year, you know, pulling down the dead branches and getting ready for that harvest where she would send all of her grandkids up into the high branches of the tree to throw grapefruit down for her to catch and box up. And she was very generous. She would give them to everybody that she could possibly think of. There was too many grapefruit to eat. I wish I liked grapefruit. I really wish I liked grapefruit. It's on the short list of things I wish I liked to include tomatoes and yogurt. But again, not relevant for the moment. But what fruit is God looking for? My grandma had grapefruit trees to produce grapefruit. The grapefruit were consistent with the type of tree that the branches were connected to, right? The branches that came out of that trunk were going to produce the type of tree that was planted there, which were grapefruits in her case. But what type of vine are we connected to? We're connected to a very particular vine. And that very particular vine is Jesus. So when God is looking for the fruit in our life, he is looking for Jesus. And how do we know what fruit Jesus produces? Well, for a year now, we've been walking through the gospel together. We've seen Jesus. We've heard his words. We've watched him interact. We've seen how he responds to different situations. We know through observation what Jesus is like. Those qualities are the things that God is looking for in you and in me, if we are disciples of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist called them fruit in keeping with repentance. Meaning, if I change my life from the way I naturally would go to a life that is consistent with the glory of God, that work, that behavior, that life change, that's the fruit God's looking for, the fruit of repentance. The Apostle Paul would later add the 9 fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians chapter 5. If you haven't read that passage lately, I would read it. Why? Because it gives a good barometer for us to determine whether or not we are really seeing the fruit of Jesus' character in our lives. Why? Because the vine dresser, the Lord God, is wanting to find fruit that is consistent with the type of plant that he has planted. And he has planted the righteous and holy and perfect and loving and joy-filled and peace-producing person of Jesus Christ. And you and I are connected to him. Therefore, the fruit of his presence should be evident in anyone who abides in him. God is looking for fruit. Jesus also says that God is removing the fruitless branches. And this is a little scary. You get echoes of it in Isaiah chapter 5, where the vine dresser comes into the vineyard and he says, I planted good grapes, and look what's here. Nothing. Wild grapes. Grapes that can't be used for anything good. No celebration is going to come out of this. It needs to be removed. It needs to be disciplined. The walls need to be taken down. It needs to be trodden down flat again and laid to rest. You know, if you're a farmer or know about farming, there's a cycle of the ground that needs to, the land needs to rest in order to produce something more. But in the moment of that breaking down the walls and allowing the vine to be trodden down, there's pain and there's frustration and there's anger and there's disappointment on the part of the vine itself. But remember, the vine's not there for the vine's sake. The vine is there for the Father's sake, the vine dresser. And God is looking for fruitless trees to remove. Why? Because the vine is there to produce fruit, not to create deadness, right? So as he's looking for the fruitless branches, Jesus says he cuts them off, he removes them, and he sets them aside for the fire. And oftentimes we look at this and we'll say, is Jesus saying that if I don't do enough good things or I don't produce enough good fruits, that somehow I lose my relationship with Jesus, that he's going to cut me off and he's going to throw me into the fires of hell where I'm going to burn forever? We never say that though, right? Well, we did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. The reason why I don't like that understanding of this passage, because I don't think Jesus is talking about salvation here. And sometimes we look at that and we say, oh yeah, if I'm not bearing fruit, then God's going to cut me off from his son and he's going to throw me in the fires of hell. Now, God is a holy God. He is a just God. He is wrathful. And sin is not tolerable. Is that the right word? Tolerable? Tolerable? Whatever that word is, that's the one I'm trying to get to. God is all of those things. And so certainly he is about the work of disciplining us for the purpose of godliness. But this passage is not about whether or not you have eternal security or not. What's the point Jesus is trying to make here? Jesus is making this point that I am going to the Father. And if you want to continue in a fruitful life, you need to abide in me. I am the source of dependence. I am the source of life. I am the source of light. I am all of these things that I've displayed for you. And you need to abide in me. Why? Because if you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. God is about the work of removing the fruitless branches. But God is also involved in the process, the vine dresser, of pruning the fruitful branches. So when you're working in a garden and you've got a beautiful plant that's kind of growing and you've got your clippers out and you see a branch coming off the side that's dying, what's the first move? The first move is usually to take those clippers out and cut. So you throw that aside and you look at it and you're like, wow, what a beautiful thing. And now I see that it's growing and this one's producing fruit this way. And then what's the next step? You take those same clippers and you cut. God cuts the fruitless and the fruitful. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel, God, I am fruitful. Why are you cutting me? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Why is this coming upon me? Why are the challenges facing me? Why am I struggling so much in my life? I think I'm fruitful. And the vine dresser says, this is not about your comfort. This is about how much fruit you can produce. And the Lord God knows that if he prunes you back, even though it's painful, you will produce more fruit. Why? Because that works in so many other areas of our lives. The fact that God, from our perspective, causes pain to the fruitless and the fruitful is something that we just need to kind of chew on. Because it may be that you're here this morning and you realize that you're entirely fruitless. That there's no evidence of God's presence in your life. You should really take that to heart. Say, God, what is it in me? Or what is it, God, that is not in me? That is causing a state of total fruitlessness. And you really should dig into that. If you can't figure it out on your own, you need to find somebody, maybe somebody sitting next to you that is on the growing side of their relationship with God. And they can help you, kind of mentor you through that process of how do I go from fruitlessness to fruitfulness? The answer comes later in the passage. You may be here this morning too, and you know that your life is fruitful. You feel the presence of God every day. You're growing in your love for him, and the evidence of his spirit in you is very clear, and it's just visible. God may be wanting to prune you as well. And he may be wanting to prune you so that you will bear more fruit, because the goal is fruitfulness and more fruitfulness and more fruitfulness. Do you tend to be someone who is content? I struggle with this myself because I always want to be a little bit better. I'm not talking comparatively better than the people around me. I just want to do it a little bit better than I did it the last time. And I want the people around me to do it just a little bit better than they did it the last time. I always want to be iterating forward. 1% better every single day. But the downside of that is a sense of discontentment. Or maybe I'm not good enough. Or maybe I don't do enough. Or maybe I just need to... I don't think God wants us to experience that as he's pruning us for more fruitfulness. God wants us to experience the love that pours out of a fruitful life. God wants us to experience the joy that pours out of a fruitful life. God wants us to enjoy the peace that flows out of a fruitful life. And you can go down all the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the vine dresser wants. He doesn't want you to be in pain. He wants you to grow. And so he invites us, as the vine dresser, to grow and to bear more fruit and yield to the clippers. Why? Because the clippers are ultimately going to produce more fruit in your life. I don't know about you, I want that. That's what the vine dresser is doing. But what is the branch doing? The branch is working for faithfulness. Now, I'm not saying here that we need to work for salvation, but 12 different times Jesus commands us to abide. And when you're commanded to do something, what do you have to do? You have to do something, right? You can't just sit and chew on it for a while. It's one of my favorite phrases. I can't just sit back and consider, what does it mean to abide? Let me just really think about this. Because sometimes you just think yourself into oblivion, right? The branch works for faithfulness. Why? Because in faithful abiding is life. And it's abiding in Jesus Christ. So we need to be people who are thinking about what it is to abide, but we are to discipline ourselves to be faithful in abiding. And that requires effort on our part. It requires self-evaluation on our part. It requires the connection with other accountable believers in our lives. It requires the community of God pushing us on towards godliness and Christ-likeness. It's a whole list of things here that Jesus tells the branches about this work of working faithfulness. Let's look at them quickly. The branch abides in the true vine. The branch remains connected and fastened to the vine. If a branch is connected to the vine, it will receive the benefits. I'm talking about a physical tree. It'll receive the benefits of the vine, which is really gaining benefit from the roots. The branch's job, though, is to abide. And in a relationship sense, abiding means communication. It means regular connectedness. In a spiritual sense, it's regular confession, and it's regular coordinated action with the vine. As the vine moves, we are to move. As Jesus moves, we are to move. Think about this principle in any relationship you might have. If you want to stay connected in a relationship, you have to work together. You have to go the same places. The branch abides in the true vine. Secondly, the branch relies on the true vine. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. About four of you realize that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean that you literally can do nothing. There are a lot of people out there that have no relationship with Jesus Christ that do a lot of things. And some of them are good things. With regards to the purpose of the branch, which is to produce fruit that is consistent with the vine, you can do nothing unless you are abiding in Jesus Christ. If you abide in Jesus Christ, the fruit of God's presence will flow out of you naturally. Your job is to be faithful in abiding. And in this way, the branch relies on the true vine for everything. Do I want to be more loving? I've got to go to God. If I want to be more joyful, I've got to go to God. If I want to be more self-controlled, I have to go to Jesus Christ. If I want to be kind or gentle or faithful, I have to be connected and rooted to Jesus Christ in an ongoing personal relationship with him. The branch relies on the true vine. The branch reflects the character of the true vine. The things that are true of Jesus will become true of you as you abide in him. We begin looking like our dogs, for crying out loud. Have you seen some of those pictures? A before and after picture of people who grow up with animals and they begin to look like their species? If that happens with humans and dogs, how much more if we are abiding in the powerful presence of Jesus Christ? We begin to reflect his character. Throughout the passage, Jesus says, as I do this, so you do this. As I love the Father, so you. As I loved you, so you. Why? Because we as the branches are reflecting the character of Jesus Christ in what we do if we abide in him. The branch obeys the word of the true vine. Obedience is a hard word to carry because oftentimes we just think of it, he's told me to do it, I just got to do it. Sometimes you just got to do it. He tells you something, you just got to do it. His word tells you to do something, you just got to do it. Why? Because you are obedient. I say the same thing to me too. I am a forever aim person. Anybody like that in the room? You're never pulling the trigger. You're always aiming because you got to wait for the perfect shot, right? Aim. We need more people who are just shooting. Just saying, okay, let's fire. Let's get close enough and fire. Why? Because God says to do it. Let's do it. The branch obeys the word of the true vine. The branch proves to be the disciple of the true vine. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By this is my Father glorified. By this is the vine dresser glorified, that the branch bears much fruit and so proves to be the disciples of Jesus. I love the connection of the relationship there. I want to glorify God. I want other people to see me and not glorify me. I want people to see me and glorify God on the day of visitation. I want his light to shine out of me. In this context, it's the fruit. I want his fruit to shine out of me so that others see it and they give glory to God, because that's the source of this. I hope you want something like that for yourself. The branch proves to be a disciple. The branch brings glory to the Father. Why? Because it stays connected to the vine. It bears fruit consistent with the character of the vine, Jesus. And the Father is glorified, and I'm validated that I'm a disciple of Jesus. There are a lot of people out there that say, yeah, I'm a disciple of Jesus, but where's the fruit? Remember the Where's the Beef commercial? Where's the fruit? Where is the fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness? Where is it? If you can't see it, friends, it's very, very hard to affirm the fact that you're actually a branch that is connected to the vine. So I want to see fruit in us. I want the world to be glorifying the Father because of us. The branch loves the true vine. If you abide in me, you will abide in my love. I abide in my Father's love, and you abide in me, so we can abide in my Father's love together. We'll come back to this in John 17. Yes, I love Jesus. I want to stay connected to him. I want to be close to him in a way where there's constant interaction and connection. I want to be able to relate to him on a daily basis. I use the word Godward a lot. I want to be Godward in the way that I live, that I'm always aware and attuned to the presence of God in my life. Why? Because I love God, and I love his Son, Jesus Christ, and I love the presence of the Spirit, and I want this to be a true part of who I am, and I'm aspiring just like you. But the branch abides, or the branch loves the true vine. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The branch possesses the joy of the true vine. Joy, even though pruned. I like the word joy. Joy is a good word. Joy is the deep-rooted, situation agnostic, peace smile that we have because of God's presence in us in Christ. It's the deep-rooted, situation-agnostic, peace smile that lives in us because we are connected with Jesus. His joy is my joy. How much better could that be? And remember, I mentioned, we've already seen my love, my joy, my peace. I think you could go down the list of the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that Jesus offers to us. Why? Because the branch possesses these things. Because it's connected to Jesus. Lastly, the branch interacts with the true vine. Three times Jesus says, one of the fruits, one of the results of an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ is that you can talk with the Father and you can expect an answer. Now, I don't want us to leave. There's two times in this passage, one time 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Philip. I don't want any of us to think that God is this vending machine where I will abide as long as I get. Do we ever say that? Yes, we say it all the time. God, if you just do this one thing, then I will be blah, 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 whatever it might be. The branch interacts with the true vine on a regular basis. To the degree that I'm actually communicating with Jana, my wife, to that same degree we are close. To the degree that I'm communicating with my children, to that same degree we are abiding with each other. And if I sever any of those things, the relationship just doesn't work right. The same is true with the Lord God. If you're not interacting with him in prayer, if you're not listening to him through the reading of the word, if you're not doing the things that build healthy relationships with God, how can you say you're abiding in him and how can you expect fruit? And I would say you can't. You can't expect to be abiding in him and you can't expect to receive fruit. Why? Because the fruit is not about your good work to be more loving or more kind or more gentle or more good or more self-controlled. These are fruit of the work of God's Spirit in us. The branch interacts with a true vine, prays, talks, communicates, expects answers and responses. Why? Because God wants to abide with his people in the person of Jesus Christ. In my reading through the Bible this morning, I finished the book of Ezekiel, and there's a lot of dismal judgment and wrath and scariness in the prophet Ezekiel's writings. But it ends with a glorious restoration of the temple of God and a glorious filling of the temple of God with very God's presence. And it talks about the people gathering around this place that now has a new name. You know what the new name is? The Lord is there. I love that. The Lord is there. I don't know about you, but I want to be where the Lord is. And God has invited us into a relationship where we can abide with his Son through the Helper who is the Holy Spirit. And in that abiding relationship, you and I as branches can bear fruit if we work to be faithfully connected to the vine, which I hope that you want to do. How do you do that? You pursue the Lord God. You learn about who Jesus Christ is. You surround yourself with others that are going in the same direction. And you relentlessly pursue Jesus. Why? Because he's with you every moment. Just act like it. I say the same for me. Act like Jesus is with me every single moment. Because he is. The task and the ask. The task this week, and again, the task is the work that we are committing to doing this week. The task is practice faithfulness and look for fruitfulness. Now, this isn't a free ticket for you to judge the people around you. You're not allowed to say, well, I don't see love, I don't see joy, I don't see peace. Although in the right relationship, that might not be a bad idea. This is your self-inspection in your life. God, where am I with regards to the fruit of the Spirit? Where am I, Lord, with regards to the fruit of repentance? Am I really living a life with you that communicates that I'm committed to being with you? If not, help me to practice faithfulness, practice the abiding in the presence of Jesus. Help me understand what that means. And that's the ask. The ask is, Father, teach me to abide. The word means remain. It means stay connected. But we need the Lord to teach us this. And we're going to close with that song that we've sung over the last month or so called Abide. And I'll ask the praise team to come up. It's a great song and it's a great prayer. And it's our ask for this week. Lord, teach me to abide so that I might bear fruit, so that the Father might be glorified, so that the world might be changed. And that's what we want. Let's pray together. God, it is our prayer that we want to abide, and we need you to teach us what it means to abide. We've learned a lot about abiding and the benefits of abiding or the fruit of abiding or the habits of abiding. But God, we need your Spirit to fill all the pieces in for us, the gaps. We want to be faithful. We want to be fruitful. But God, we want a movement of your Spirit in us. We want to be people that are glorifying you in all that we do. And so as we stand together as a family, as we sing this morning, this great prayer, I pray, God, that you would do a great work in us. that we might leave differently than we came in. We pray these things to your glory, to your Son's honor, and to the Spirit's free work in our lives. Amen.